Welcome back, everybody, to another fun-filled episode of the We Are Adult Show, brought to you by Hoppyhead Productions. I'm your host, Sean. Danny is finally getting chilly. I almost have to put on, jackets more often now.
I know, this morning I woke up and I was kind of pissed at myself because I'm like, why the fuck am I waking up, when it's dark outside, at 5 o'clock in the morning?
On your day off.
And I'm like, well, I gotta go to the bathroom. So I roll, and I'm like, oh shit, it's already 7 o'clock in the morning. Stupid clouds hiding the sun.
So what is it, a cold 78 out there?
Actually, no, it's the high is only supposed to be 68
today. Oh, wow.
It's currently 63 degrees. So yeah, it's like shorts and a hoodie weather, not quite like jacket weather.
All the girls.
Which I don't know if we ever.
All the girls gonna bust out their North Faces and UGG boots.
I was going to say, you mean Han Solo weather?
Mon Solo.
Yeah. It's Han Solo pumpkin spice scene, dude. You got the vest, you got the leggings, and you got the UGG boots. It's Han Solo season.
Oh, man. So what do you...
What's I'm not complaining about, I guess.
That's true. Anyways. I was going to say, now that you're finally playing... a part of my Destiny clan. How do you like the crazy Discord chat?
I'm gonna be honest.
Overwhelming? Sean. Underwhelming?
No, actually. Like when I go on there, I see stuff, but then sometimes I forget that I'm part of it because I'm new to the club, and I don't have my notifications on for a reason.
Yeah, you can't have notifications on, or else it'll just attack. The only notification I have on is I purposely get tagged, but it's not to every message because it would just, you'd lose yourself.
Oh. I thought you were going to say either the anime or the not safe for work.
I actually even blocked certain channels I didn't want popping up. All the different random shit. I stay away from the spoilers. I have that one blocked, and then I have all the PC stuff blocked, Fortnite blocked, just to make it to where I could.
You're not.
Hmm?
I'm gonna say you block all the politically correct stuff.
Exactly. I'm only about Destiny and the beer club. That's all I care about.
Have you been on this morning?
Did I? I think I did.
Because Brownie's breaking tradition.
Oh. Why? What'd she do?
Whenever anyone joins the Discord, you get the automatic message of, hey, welcome to the Discord. Also, Brownie Kinker's a bitch.
Pretty much.
And then she's like, I never said everyone else does, but you said it, so you think everyone else sucks for shame. And it's hey, just a hit. And then someone quotes her, punk kid. Hey, just a heads up, everyone sucks here except for me. And then I am gynophobic, sucks the most.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, no. She's a liar. She thinks that she sits on a crown, but she really sits on a throne of lies.
Oh, I thought you were going to say she sits on she thinks she sits on the golden strap on, but it's really not. You know the best part about this is we can say anything we want about some people because they don't listen. I was having a conversation with my wife and she's like, are you going to talk about this on the podcast? And I'm like, I don't know. And she's like, well, I guess it doesn't matter. And I'm like, as far as you know, I don't talk about you at all on the podcast. Your name is ever mentioned.
Exactly.
As far as you know.
Oh, man. So, Danny, what are you drinking, man?
So, I'm busted out something fancy today, Sean.
Are you?
Yeah, so I got hooked up. There's a new brewery opened up in California called Private Press Brewing.
That's not a very catchy
name. Literally, it's named the... Well, here's the thing, too, is it's very appropriately named. It's a membership-only brewery.
Wow. Interesting.
And so former guest of the show, if I was a better human being, I would have done research and looked it back, like what episode he was on. But past guest of the show, Jamie Conway, brewer at Core Brewing in Arkansas. Yep. He hit me up one day, and he's like a while ago, and he was like, basically it's like, hey, this guy I know got accepted this like exclusive club. And I was like, he's like, is it cool? But they won't ship out here. Is it cool if we like ship it to your place and you just like forward it to us? And I was like, yeah, no problem. And then as time was passing, I started hearing more about this private press brewing, and I'm like, wait, is it private press? But I didn't want to quite get my hopes up, you know, because like they specialize in like barrel aged stouts and barley wines.
Okay.
And so as it got closer to like the time, it was like, yeah, it is private press. And I was like, holy shit, that's awesome. So he said that he was like, if he could order, like there's some beers that seems like in the next batch coming up or the batch later, that is only going to be like one beer per person. But he said if he could order extras, he'd order me the extras and extra of each or whatever. And I'd get to keep that for myself as part of my payment for letting him have a box deliver. And then he'll send me the label, and I just have to swap labels and then forward it onto his place.
Oh, that's pretty nice.
And, yeah. And since I'm not a complete monster, I ended up throwing in like a couple beers to replace the empty spots that I took out.
Fun fact, it's episode 119.
So, nice. 119. Way to do research, Sean. Way to do research. Follow-up questions are permitted.
Yeah,
Sean.
You could follow Jaime at Core. I can't even do Jaime, my own jokes, man. It just makes me laugh too much. Jamie at coreofarkansas.com. And on Instagram at Core Brewing.
Exactly. Apparently, like they're like the less douchey version of Stone in Arkansas. They're kind of like that brewery that you can get like at grocery stores and everywhere, but they're not complete dick bags. Mm.
Very, very rare.
But anyways, going back to yes. So so the guy that founded Private Press actually had a job at a brewery that you've been to, or if not been to, at least have had some of their beers. Mm. Jackie O's.
Oh, yeah, I went to their – I didn't go to their brewery, but, yeah, I went to their, like, little pub house up there. Nice.
Yeah, so he was a former brewer at Jackie O's, and he ended up quitting and moving back out to California and starting up this little experiment in beer sales where it's literally members only. And I think it was something, like, crazy, like, only, like, 400 members in the first year.
Wow.
And so it was – pretty exclusive, especially if like people like from around the country, even the world, are getting memberships, not just California, you know? It's kind of like when Horace does his memberships, Horace Aged Ales, Kyle, the brewer and owner, he does lotteries by region. So there's like the locals, the semi-locals, and then like the state of California, and then like the rest of the country. Mm-hmm. And so from each of that group, he'll pick like a 25% of the eligible entries. So like if there's like 100 hypothetically, so 25 would come from like the San Diego area, like the city, and then 25 would come from San Diego County, and then 25 would come from California, and then the 25 from the rest of the country.
Hmm.
But so I decided to pop open their Life is Round. And like their artwork is really cool. It's very like minimalist. So it's just a yellow label with like a black and white square. It's like a white square inside of a black square, and then there's just three round circles, right? And then like their logo is like basically the same thing. So it's like same letter, so it's PPB, but it's like the B is in the middle upside down. P. So this is their barley wine. It comes in 500 milliliter bottles. And so he doesn't have a brewery, so he basically gypsy brews.
Wow.
What's so funny?
He gypsy brews.
Yes. So he brews at Faction Brewing in Alameda, California, and then his actual location is in Santa Cruz. And so for your dad who might ask, gypsy brewing is basically when like somebody like this guy that has recipes and has all his ingredients and stuff, but doesn't have a place to brew it. He'll go and use the brewing equipment at another brewery. Gunwale Ales started doing that for a while when they first opened.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have enough room at their place, so they would there was a brewery across the street, and they would basically go over there and start the brewing process, and then throw all the warm wort and shit into containers and basically push it across the street and then throw it in their tanks to brew there.
That's pretty extreme.
Yes.
I just imagine.
Barley Forge before it became Green Cheek.
Gotcha. I just imagine putting stuff in containers and then going back and transferring it again, just the risk of contamination.
I mean, they were they did brew a lot of wilds and sours, so I think they're aiming for that.
Probably helped. I just imagine them, they're yes. pushing it. Oh no, I hope nothing wild falls into this.
Right, they're like, they don't even put, they're like, shouldn't you put a lid on that? And it's like, nah, that's cool, man. And it's like, we better hurry up. And it's like, nah, dude, we're going to walk around the block a couple times.
Oh, look, you want to stop and have coffee? We totally have time for coffee.
Yeah, because nothing adds to the quality of a beer like Costa Mesa Air.
Good times.
But yeah, this beer is really good. There's the English style barley wines, and which they can't. It's weird. All these different loopholes. To be a Märzen or whatever, or some of the German beers, you actually have to be brewed in that region, and certain wild beers that are made by the monks. They have to be brewed in the region. Champagne can only come from Champagne, France, or else it's just a sparkling wine. So that's why a lot of beers have the style, right? Yeah. So they'll say English style or Belgian style beers. It's because they can't quite say it's Belgian. It's yeah, they're made like those beers, but they're not from there, so we can't get sued. But the difference is the American barley wine and the English style, or English, is the English is not hoppy. For whatever reason, fucking Americans like to throw hops in everything.
Even boom! You just gotta add a little acid. That's all.
Yeah. So if you've had some the more popular American barley wines, and it's wow, this kind of tastes just a sugary IPA. Apparently I don't like barley wines. It's because you haven't had one made the right way.
Are you saying the English style is better than American?
It is, yes.
I'm just making sure we understand each other.
There's no hidden messages there, dude. I don't like IPAs. I'm not gonna lie. Hi, my name's Daniel. I hate IPAs.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Apparently, that's not a popular opinion.
No, it's not.
But yeah, I know this beer is really good. It's got the characteristic flavors of barley wine. People talk about they taste like Lolo or caramel, but it's not sweet. The bourbon barrels almost make it bitter to drink, but it's so good. You can smell the vanilla, and that's the fundamental observation style beer, which is, I guess, baked stouts, where you just barrel age and stout and throw vanilla beans in there. I mean, it's so basic. Any home brewer can throw wood and vanilla beans in there and call it a day.
Wow. Gotcha. Shots fired. Lots of shots fired.
Shots fired.
I said, was rude.
Rude? So what are you drinking?
I haven't started yet. I just wanted to get that nice sound. The good old nitro. I'm having, from Left Hand Brewing Company, the White Russian. This is a white stout with coffee and vanilla.
Sweet. So there's a new brewery opening. As you're pouring, I'm going to tell a quick story. There's a new brewery that's going to be opening up soon-ish in Riverside. I know it's adjacent to one of your mom's favorite breweries, or at least at some point was, because she would go there quite a bit. Your Ale Brewing. It's literally across the street from there.
Okay.
And he's been kind of like letting people kind of come by and low key
take us
like test his games to make sure they're not shit take or a something. Sip. Take a sippy sip and just check out the facility and stuff. Like, he's not really supposed to be doing it, but...
Wow. Did you just plant evidence on him that he's breaking the law?
Oh. Wow. Maybe. Or I could just be, like, lying. But no, like, because there's no problem in, like, having your friends over, so he's, like, sends out texts and just says, hey, come by and, like, check out this, like, recipe. Mm. Make sure it's, like, not garbage. So he, that guy, he makes a root beer, which I have a growler of it in my refrigerator because it was so amazing.
Oh, you are nice. So you were able to get some stuff
because we went to
Wix. Oh yeah, I saw your picture.
Yeah, we went to Wix lunch, and that's like my wife's favorite root beer in the world is Wix root beer. And we went to this place to check it out, and he was talking about how he puts like the star anise and vanilla in there and stuff, and she's like, definitely want to try it. And so, yeah, it was pretty fucking good. Like, I'll probably be drinking that after the show.
Oh, some good old root beer.
Taking a growler to the head.
That's pretty nifty.
But yeah, I mean, when he opens, we'll definitely have to head out there. Because even my wife was, but I had a golden stout there, was where like that was leading, was why I made think of it. And it was pretty pretty solid. You know, you got the creaminess, the goldenness, the stoutness, and the coffee. All you
exactly.
need, right?
Exactly.
Is it? How about yours, Sean? Does it have all those key ingredients, including the nitro?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the nitro just makes it a lot more creamier. But yeah, I mean, it definitely gives off like a very milky like texture. I mean, it's weird because like you're drinking beer, but it like gives that creamy white Russian, and then you get the nice coffee. And I think that, you know, I don't really pick up too much vanilla, but I think the vanilla is just kind of in there to kind of help with flavoring. Yeah, I mean, I think.
Or they're just cheap and didn't want to throw that much vanilla in there.
I mean, it feels. Yeah.
They skimped on the ingredients.
Exactly. I mean, I feel like I'm drinking a. Like some kind of milky product. That's how ridiculous it is. And. You know, it does have flaked oats and some lactose to add some sweetness to it, but I mean, there's nothing like out of the ordinary to it, so it's pretty good. I also like their chai stout, which I haven't seen yet, but it looks like it just came back on the market, so I'll have to look for that next time I go shopping.
Yeah, that's one thing I can't get into is like the chai stuff. I don't know, my wife likes it. I mean, I've bought a couple beers to try it to see if she likes it, and she doesn't like it enough to drink a beer of it. So, I don't know.
It happens.
Yeah, it does. So, Sean, just in time for me to make a Reddit account, I think I'm going to have to stop using Reddit because they've taken away my favorite feature.
What was that?
So if you go like on a post and you used to be able to click on the comments, on the comment filters, and you could like find popular, hot, new, and my favorite, controversial. They got rid of controversial, Sean.
Why? Just because people were attacking people?
Well, I mean, it's still on there. Like basically all controversial would do is just take you to...
Like the most downvoted, right?
The most downvoted, yes. Just the... Basically, yes. So, like, it would take you to the most downvoted. So, like, sometimes, like, there's some things where it's, like, I would go down there if it was, like, something super wholesome or pure to see, like, all right, what asshole had something, like, controversial to say about this? And most of the time it was just, like, yeah, this was funny the first time I saw it 8 years ago. Ha ha, repost.
Is there a rule like when you're allowed to post something again? I feel like something ate that was only posted like five, I don't know, like what is the time frame before like the repost is accepted?
Right, like I've seen people post things and it's like, hey, like I posted this and only got like 5,000 upvotes. Someone took my picture, removed my watermark and reposted it and got like 50,000 upvotes. Mm-hmm.
Maybe you should have posted it at a better time.
Right. Don't post it in your weirder time zone times. But yeah, like, nobody's boring, man. Because there's been some good posts today where I'm like, oh man, I wanna go see the controversy behind this post because it looks juicy. You know?
Yeah.
Just so much pettiness and arguing and bitterness. It's like I'm like the Emperor in Star Wars when I go to some post and see the controversial. It's like, yes, let the hate blow through you. But yeah, no.
No, none for you.
No more. Like there's this, the Idiots in Cars subreddit, and it's like, there's a mountain road that has all, like, super windy, and it tells truck drivers not to use it. And of course, there's a video of a truck driver using it. And I'm like, what is the controversial on that? Is somebody, like, defending the truck driver because he's in a hurry, or is somebody, like, telling a stupid story? Like, I'll never know. Stupid Reddit.
You know what's not so stupid? Hulu and Animaniacs.
What's that? Dude, I don't know, man. The trailer looked good, but is it going to be a thing of, like, it's not, like, I saw one thing in the trailer that made me think, like, people are going to be upset about it now, or is it just in general, it's like, it's not as funny as I remember being as a kid. And it's like, of course not, because you're not a fucking kid anymore. But the trailer was...
I laughed at quite a bit of it. I don't know why I laughed so hard at the catfish joke, because maybe it was just because it was so stupid that I laughed when PQ's like, all I'm getting is catfish, and literally, like, turn on the dating profile and turns it over, and it's literally a picture of a catfish.
Yes. Because that fits perfectly with Pinky. Like, that seems something yeah. Pinky would do. Like,
yeah.
Like, I don't think it would work with, like, the actual, like, three Animaniacs, but, like, Pinky is like, oh, man, yeah, I don't like this new dating app. I keep getting catfished.
I mean,
Is she even real? And then he turns around and it's a catfish.
Well, I feel like Animaniacs, like, when we were kids, like, we didn't get all the jokes, but now that we get more of the jokes, it definitely seems spicier, but, like, when you go back and watch old episodes, they definitely said some questionable things. Like...
Right, and that's the other thing, too. Like, our parents going to complain? It's like, why did they make, like, these inappropriate jokes? And it's like, Animaniacs has probably one of the most famous inappropriate for a kid's joke on a kid's cartoon. Where they're, like, being, like, detectives, like, trying to solve a mystery.
Yeah,
and it's like, we're looking, and it's like, they tell the sister, like, go find Prince. And she comes back holding, you know, the musician Prince. And they're like, no, fingerprints. And she drops him and goes, I don't think so.
Right? Like, I already knew, like, it was spicy when she's like, and there's no mansplaining here. I was like, oh, damn. What, this is...
That's the point where I'm like, people are going to be like, oh, crap, now they're making it political or something.
Like,
you know, that's the one night line. Oh, man, we're going to complain about that shit. Like, that's where I need the controversial on Reddit.
That was, like, the hook that made me go... Oh, yeah, this has got some spice. I know what I need to do on November 20th. I need to watch some Animaniacs.
And the cool thing is that I don't know if they got everybody, but it seems like they got almost everybody mm-hmm. back from the original show, as far as voice actors and writers and stuff, or at least enough to make it good again. Make Animaniacs good again. Can I make that happen?
Yeah, you
can. MAGA make Animaniacs
exactly. again. Exactly. Yeah, there was somebody I sent it to our clan chat, and one of the new people are like, I hope it doesn't, like, ruin my childhood. I'm like, if this show ruined your childhood, like, I don't really know what to say. Like,
right, that's always my, like, response whenever someone's like, oh, the Michael Bay Transformers movie ruined my childhood, and I'm like, well, then you must have had a pretty shitty childhood already.
Yeah.
Because you can still go back and watch the part. Ignore the movies. Like, same thing with this. Like, you can go back and watch the old cartoons and ignore the new one. It's not going to ruin anything. Exactly. They're dick.
It happens. I don't know. We'll see.
Speaking of happening, Sean, you actually practiced literacy.
I proved to my girlfriend that I could read. Because that was like...
I mean, there were pictures.
There's a lot of pictures. So Goblin Slayer, I decided that I needed more Goblin Slayer in my life, Danny. And so I decided to do some quote-unquote light reading over the last 2 weeks. So I've read the first five volumes, and I guess there's only five volumes currently published, of Goblin Slayer Year One, which I actually really enjoyed. It's pretty interesting to kind of see like how he kind of came to be and how he started learning different things. And you see all the introduction of different characters like working together, like some of the other adventurers aren't also silver yet, so they're like in lower levels. So it was kind of like interesting to see how everybody kind of got married up and whatnot. The only thing that I think kind of sucked though is they didn't really, and maybe they just haven't done it yet, they didn't get into like his training as much as I thought they would. Like when he was like a boy, because he literally like walks into the Adventure Guild without armor and anything and starts taking quests and uses like his scrap money to buy, you know, the armor, and the armor's got horns on it instead. And it talks about how he loses the horns and stuff, but it never went back to like that period, like after like he left the village and he's like training with that crazy guy, goblin, whatever he is. They never really did like any kind of like anything else with it. It was you got like a little bit of a splash of it, but it was like very short. So I feel like that's the only disappointing thing out of Year One that we didn't get, but you know, still going out, killing goblins, being very short with people. It's very enjoyable.
Basically he's himself right from the beginning.
Pretty much. You could kind of tell like he's, you know, he's just hyper-focused on killing goblins and whatnot, but he doesn't, like, have all the experience, so he's, like, a little bit more, like, just uses more brute strength versus, like, in the current series where he's, like, a little bit more thoughtful about how he does things. So you kind of get, like, the rookie mistakes thing, but you can tell he's still, like, pretty well trained, even though he's, like, still, like, new.
Right. Well, I mean, it seems like anybody that he either has to rescue or just like put out of their misery in the anime, like it's not so much they're making rookie mistakes. It's just that they completely underestimate the goblins. And it seems like, you know, from what I've watched in the anime, what happened to him as a child, like it made him like learn not to underestimate them. Like, you know, it's kind of like the zombies in the old zombie movies. Everyone's like, well, they just move slow. Can't you just run away? And it's like, that's kind of the point. It's not that like one zombie's going to be a problem. It's when you encounter like a group of them and you have nowhere to go. And all of a sudden now you're just overwhelmed and you can't fight your way out.
And then I went through and I read Goblin Slayer, A Brand New Day. There's two volumes currently translated. So I read both of those. So A Brand New Day, I thought it was going to be more about the archbishop, the maiden, but it wasn't. It was actually, there are a bunch of like short stories. So every chapter is like a short story about different events and different characters that are in the Goblin Slayer universe. So it's cool. It's interesting because you get to learn more about the other characters while you're able to just like, that series isn't focused on Goblin Slayer. Like they interact with him here and there, like throughout this, like the mini stories, and even some of the mini stories are about him, but like it gets you like more, you know, you get to understand some of the side characters than what you normally would in like other series. So it's like, it's not like you need it for Goblin Slayer, but it's like a nice, like something to read if you're really interested in the universe, like I was.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that sounds like exactly what it's supposed to be then. Like from what your description is, it's not supposed to be necessarily adding on to the main story as so much as just filling in the blanks.
Yeah, pretty much. Because I guess I I was led astray on some one of the other reviews when I was looking at it, but I mean, but it was still fun. I mean, it was interesting to kind of get into some of the other characters' minds and what they think about Goblin Slayer. And then,
Like, because some of the characters are pretty good. It would be good to hear see their story, like the elf girl and like the dude that drinks all the time.
Which dude? I'm trying to think who drinks.
Well, I guess the old, like,
Dwarf.
Yeah, the dwarf. See, I'm being racist against dwarves because that's one of the dwarf stereotypes is they drink a lot. And even then, I guess, according to Lord of the Rings, I'm, like, assuming it's gender because even women dwarves have beards.
Yeah. Pretty much. And then I went through and I've read 5 volumes of the Goblin Slayer main story. So, total of 12 books so far. But
Dude. That's like more books than like most people read in a year. Like at the pace of one a month. Like you could have read one a month and you'd still be like ahead of some people.
At least I get a lot of pretty pictures though. And cool pictures and scary pictures.
So is the manga more graphic than the anime was?
No, I don't think it...
They don't show more boobies?
I guess that maybe they show more boobs, but I don't think it was as bad. I felt like that was about the same. Some of the events in the manga versus the anime are different. Most of it, it's like down to a T, like copy-paste into it. But like one of the big things is that I've noticed is when, did you watch the whole anime? Okay.
Yes.
So basically in the anime, when the goblins attack the farm, that's like in the third book. And then when they do the quest for the maiden, that's after in the manga book, where in the anime it's vice versa. So that's like the only thing that so far that I've noticed is some of the story times were not the same, and I don't know why they changed it for the anime. I actually started finally getting into chapters after the anime. I haven't gotten that far into it because it's kind of more like side stuff, but you can kind of already tell, like, you know, when Goblin Slayer has a bad feeling and it happens, like, that's what's going on. Like, it's kind of starting to build the next, like, book up, because I feel like you get like a book that basically like here's the conclusion, here's some off stories, and then it starts to set up the next major conflict, and that's what I feel like is happening in the current book that I'm reading. There's only 8 English books for the main story, so I think, and I'm on 6, so I don't have too much more to go before it's no more Goblin Slayer.
But I mean, that's pretty good that it's only like a limited series, so that it's like, you know, it's not going to be something like Naruto where there's like 457 million.
Well, all three. No, well, that's translated into English, I should say, because all three series are still ongoing currently.
Well, I guess, I mean, let me rephrase that. Not so much that it's limited, but it's at the point now where it's still realistic to jump in.
Yeah.
Like buying 8 books versus 400 books is you know, even if you're like digitally purchasing them, that's still a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I mean, and the nice thing, at least digitally, it's only like $6.99, so it's quite it's a lot cheaper than buying the actual book for like $10 or $11.99.
But you get to smell the book. That's worth some money.
That's true.
Smelling things. So you also not only weaved out with books, you also weaved out on the TV, Sean.
On the TV, yes. I watched Doriku, the animation. So I haven't really done anything, any background related stuff into it to kind of see what was going on. But if I don't know if this is comes from a certain storyline or whatnot, but basically the anime, it's pretty freaking intense, man. It's so basically they create these mouthpieces where if two people put them in and they agree to like a game, the loser becomes the other's slave. And you have to, and the thing makes you do whatever your person says. So the only thing, like, you can't, your owner can't make you kill yourself or anything like that, though. So there are like certain stipulations, but it's pretty freaking intense with some of the things that go on, because like people get like have like crushes and then end up like tricking the other person and being their slave, and ends up being, you know, like a ridiculous boyfriend girlfriend situation, and whatnot. And I think it's definitely a solid 7 or 8 out of 10. It's definitely entertaining to watch, and it does wrap up in one season. It's only 12 episodes, and I think the main character was pretty interesting and heroic. After the first episode, when she said she wished she would have never gotten into the world, I thought it was going to be a lot more gruesome than it was, but it did not. And I thought one of the interesting thing was it shows like like what they look normally like in a side by side, like, you know, when they do like the commercial breaks. They it has like them like, oh, it's here's a picture of them regular, and then like in their slave outfit. So it's like a very like, it has like a very Dom sub kind of feel to some of the artwork on the transition. So I thought that was pretty interesting. But like I said, it's a very serious story. It was I did enjoy it. So I think if it's something you're looking for, something a little bit more intense, a little bit more dramatic, definitely worth the watch.
That's pretty funny.
Why,
Sean? Well, because like the anime that I watched is completely on the opposite end of the spectrum.
Oh boy.
Like mine's like the like elevator music to your like thrash metal. But you know what, man? So I watched this anime. It's called Laid Back Camp. I mean, it's already in the title. And so the story is based, it starts off with this girl that she likes to solo camp. And this anime, like, I basically watched because I liked the Android figure that came out of the main character. Because it at some point in the show, she gets a scooter. Or as they, you know, it looks like it's drawn like a scooter, but they call it a moped. So I don't know if the Japanese are just weird and call everything mopeds, or if we're weird and call things scooters. Because mopeds aren't cool. And at some point, the scooter industry is like, dude, like moped people who ride mopeds get made fun of. Let's call these something else so we can sell some. But then at some point, like in the first episode, she ends up, you know, like there's so many anime coincidences in the show that it's, if it wasn't a good show, like it would just like make you just want to put your, like flip a table. That's how many there are, right? Because like in the first episode, like the main girl runs into another girl, and then of course they end up going to the same school, and then like they end up becoming friends, and they go camping together at some point, and they run into this other couple, like this other two people that are camping, and there's like one of them are drinking, and like after the girls kind of go back to their own campsite, they stay with those two people, and like the silver person jokes with the drunk person about her being a teacher. And I'm like, oh great. Of course she's going to end up like teaching at the girls' school. And then at some point, like there's this outdoors club that has these two girls, and like the second main character kind of joins up with them. And the leader of the outdoor camp group kind of goes to explore this campsite. And while she's walking through, she smells cooking and goes over and sees this old man like cooking steak on like a little grill. and the guy invites her over and offers her some. And then it's like later on you find out that old man is like the main character's grandpa. And it's like, fuck, dude, you don't need to have these like anime coincidences all the fucking time.
That's what I felt like in my anime. Like everything got so tied together. It was just like, you're like, come on, man, dude, that's ridiculous.
Right. The anime coincidence where like fucking everything has to tie together. Like it just can't be a thing. Like they could have just ran into these drunk campers because like at some point like they get advice on how to like because the main character bought this new little like grill and she was having a problem lighting it. So the other character goes over and gets help from them. And it's like that's all you needed. Like you didn't have to recall the characters. Like just the fact that they got advice from this camping group, other campers, that would have been fine.
Yeah.
But then the writing is so like hilarious. Like it's snarkier than it deserves to be too at the same time. Right? Like my favorite character, she's the leader of the outdoor camp group. And so like the three girls are like discussing their plans to go camping over Christmas break. Like this the whole series takes place during the winter. So like they're going camping during the winter. So they're talking about going camping during Christmas break. And this one girl, she's like, I can't go camping. I'm going to spend Christmas with my boyfriend. And a leader of the group like slams her two hands on the table and goes, you have a boyfriend? And she's like, no, I'm just kidding, but I'm probably gonna spend Christmas with my family. And then she's like slams her hands on the table again. You have a family?
Wow.
So it's just there's like jokes like that riddled throughout. Like I watched the last two episodes and like a little bit here and there with my wife, and she actually really enjoyed it, which is shocking because she's not a big anime fan, but she's also lost all of her right to make fun of me watching anime, why? Sean. Because she started watching, like, on, like, social media somewhere she found, like, Korean dramas. Like, K-dramas.
Oh, she's one of them.
Oh. Yes. And I'm like, so you're watching your... Basically, I'm like, so you're watching your live-action anime again, huh? And the first time, she's kind of, like, annoyed with it, and then she's like, yeah, it is. It's live-action anime. Because it's, like, super fantastical. Like, there's, like, mythical beings and just weird shit happens. And I'm like, all right. She's like, are you going to make fun of me? And I'm like, dude, I watch anime. Like, I can't make fun of you. Like, but you also can't make fun of me.
True.
And so at the end of each episode of Laid Back Camp, like, post-credits, they do a little, like, quick segment called Room Camp. Where it's, like, the three girls that are in the outdoor club doing... basically talking about camping stuff. And that's like the show. So the show is a mix of like comedy, like slice of life, but then you also get like camping tips. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. So like they like go and they're like buying stuff and they're like, oh yeah, so this is this. And this is like sleeping bags. They're like, so if you want to go camping in the winter, you need a sleeping bag that looks like this and does this. So they tell you like to the point where they have a season where it's the voice actress of the main character like going like shopping to buy camping equipment, and I guess she eventually goes camping solo, like the her character, which I started to watch a few of them, but then they got annoying because even as a dude, like I'm like seriously, like I know girls like things to be cute, but like fucking get over it already, because everything is like, oh, I need a cup to drink my coffee out of, but it has to be cute because girls like cute. And then they have, and I thought it was like just from the show, but I guess it's its own story. They have a separate show where it's actually called Room Camp. And all the episodes on that are about 3 or 4 minutes long. Yeah. So I haven't started that yet. I just finished watching Laid Back Camp today, but I can't recommend the show hard enough, man. Like I laughed more than I thought I would at some just really solid writing. Like the writers on the show, way better than they deserve to be for any anime, or you know.
Yeah.
But it's super late, super mellow. Like the opening song is kind of upbeat and gets you like hyped up for the show, and then like the closing song is kind of just mellow and it's like, all right, cool. Like I would almost recommend watching like one episode every night before you go to bed for like 12 days, Because, like, the closing song is, like, super, like I said, super, like, mellow. But then, like, after the song, you get the room camp bit. Like, there's another scene, like my wife was watching with me, and, like, the leader of the room camp outdoor club, she was testing out her sleeping bag, and for some reason, she tested it on, like, top of the bookshelf in the room. And she's, like, squirming around, and she ends up, because she couldn't, like, she's trying to get warm, and she's like, well, maybe if I move, I'll get warm. And she ends up falling on the floor. My wife's like, she looks like a caterpillar. And sure enough, one of the other club member comes in and goes, why is there a squirming caterpillar on the floor? But yeah, this is probably one of my favorite animes I've watched for a while. Like, Love is War, like, it's up there. To me, it's up there on, like, Love is War level.
That's fair.
So, Sean, I've been practicing my literacy skills.
Have you?
Sean.
Really?
But, and I can't judge because I also have pictures. Like, I realized that was bad when I had, like, 3 boxes of unread comics.
Yeah.
To go, like small, like, so I'm like, I went through and I figured out what boxes, like what comics, like, wrapped up, what comics I'm missing issues of, because, you know, you work the players, you know how that is. And I'm sure it's probably that way at every other comic book store, but I'm not familiar. But so I can only talk about the one I go to and the one you worked at. And so, like, I've been reading a couple of ones that wrapped up, especially, like, shorter series. So I read one called Sharky Bounty Hunter. It's written by Mark Millar. Basically, the story, like, it's in outer space. The guy's, like, a international bounty hunter, and he ends up, like, taking down a bounty, and then you come to find out that, like, the dude had, like a kid, and it wasn't necessarily his kid, but it was, like, family. So the guy's like, dude, the kid's like, dude, you killed my family, like, you got to take me to, like, my next of kin. Like, I knew he was a bad guy, but it doesn't matter, like, I'm your problem now. And the guy's like, goes to take off, and of course, you know, because he's, like, they established that he was part of this group during the war, similar to, like, in the TV show Firefly, where it's like they only took people who are honorable as part of this group. So of course he goes back and picks up the kid, and of course, you know, throughout the comic, the kid kind of saves the day or comes in handy. But it's like 6 issues. I'm sure it's Image Comics, so I'm definitely 100% positive there's a trade out there you can pick up. But the funny thing is it was written after he got his deal with Netflix. Which I don't even know if they've done anything with that other than, like, print shit in comics that Mark Millar is part of, like, the Netflix, you know, the Millar world is part of Netflix.
Yeah.
Have they done it yet? I don't think so. Because I thought they were going to make their own comics and, like, make TV shows and then have the comics and the TV shows intertwine, but I don't know. Netflix is weird. They like spending money on shit and disappointing people.
And changing it and shutting everything down after 2 seasons.
Yes. Like, getting you hyped up for a third, like, leaving, like, the best cliffhanger ever at the end of the 3rd season. And then at the end of the 2nd season, and then it's like, yeah, dude, can't wait for 3rd season. And then it's like, oh, yeah, by the way, never mind, we lied. There's no 3rd season.
There's never a 3rd season.
And then I finished another Image book called The Wicked and the Divine.
Yeah.
And this one's longer. It's about 45 issues. But again, Image, so there's definitely trades out there. And so the story is that there's these group of 12 younger, like, not kids, but they're definitely, like, college age, and they all become, like, the gods, like Persephone and Lucifer, and so there's all these different gods, and the story is that they basically are going to be the gods. Like, once they become a god, they have 2 years left to live, and then their spark burns out and they die.
That's pretty intense.
Yes. And so, you know, there's all sorts of drama and shit going on and action and twists and turns and people being killed. It's a pretty good comic. Like, if you're on Comixology, if you have, like, Amazon, or if you just want to go pick up a few trades of a comic to read, this is one I would recommend. It's a fun ride. The best part is, I don't know how it's going to be on digital, but at least for the physical copy of the comics, like the inside cover has all the characters and, like, the updates of what happened to them. Because there's just so many, like I said, there's 13 main characters, basically. There's, like, the 12 gods, and then, like, the leader of them, Anake, an older woman, which of course there's a twist with her, which is actually like
a twist.
But it wasn't like, I'm sure someone's gonna be like, I saw that coming, and it's like, cool. Either you just fucking like got lucky on your guess, or you know, whatever. But I wasn't like, it wasn't like I was like, holy shit, I can't believe this happened. But it was like, oh shit, they went there, you know?
Yeah.
And it wrapped up pretty, like, so, like, there was, like, 44 issues, and, like, some shit went down, and then they did, like, a time jump, like, 30 or 40 years in the future.
Oh, wow.
To wrap it up, basically.
That seems like a long time to just jump into the future just to wrap it up. Seems like a long time.
But it makes, like, if you read the, like, reading the comic, it makes sense that there had to be a time jump.
Gotcha. Fair enough.
Does that make sense? But yeah, like, it was, like, unlike, like, I was going through my, like, the boxes and stuff, and I came across this one book. The comic, The Beauty. I talked about it before, like, how it's, like, the best and the worst of comics, especially Image, because they literally had two books planned to be the end of it. And then Image is like, nah, it's cool, we're not going to release those two books.
Wow.
It's like, and there were like 30 issues in or 32 issues in. And they're like, yeah, we're just going to release the last two. And it's like, dude, at that fucking point, cut your losses and either give them like the last two issues or do like a double, like a big book and edit shit out that's unimportant, but make it larger, you know, and fucking wrap up the story because it was good. Like, it ended on a cliffhanger.
Oh, terrible.
Dude, it was the worst. It's like fucking Netflix.
You got Netflixed.
I got Netflix. We have to make Netflix a verb. But yeah, no. So like, you know, and then they, you know, like they talk about like different reasons why people aren't buying comics. And I'm sure a lot of it has to do with everything going digital between like Comixology and Marvel having its app and DC having its app. But I'm also sure a big part of it is because shit like that, where it's like, oh man, I can't wait to read these last two issues. Wait, it's been like 6 months since an issue's come out. I'm going to Google, see why, like what the hold is. Or even just, you know, independent comics in general, where it's like, hey, I know it's been like a year since we've released an issue, but here's one. And then it'll be like another 6 months where we'll release the next one.
Radical Comics, you would order it and then it would never even come out. Like the entire series.
Yeah.
It was like a 3-episode series and it would just not come out.
Right. Well, because I'm sure it's probably a thing of they're so independent that they're like, well, we need like 10,000 pre-orders to be able to afford to print issue one. Well, so we only got 6,000. Well, I guess we're not printing this series. It's like a Kickstarter in a way. But if you're relying on comic book stores like that to like give you a certain number of pre-orders and just fucking go to Kickstarter, like a lot of people are doing, you know. Like this podcast I listened to, and I've actually, you know, I've talked to the person. I've actually like had a brief appearance on one episode of his shows because back when we were able to go to comic book conventions, he would kind of go around and
were you in the background and you sneezed during the podcast recording?
No. Actually, I was like on there and
you said things.
You know, caught off guard, made an idiot of myself. So I don't remember. I don't know what issue it was, but it was a while ago at like Ontario Comic Con. I want to say. The Comic-Con Revolution, and he came up because he walks around the floor and has two random questions and he asks people, and so like one of them was where is Frozone's super suit, and the other question was who is your second crush?
Are you allowed to have a second crush? And is that the thing?
Like your second crush of all time, like because your first crush is someone, and then at some point you developed a crush on someone else. Or your second crush.
You know what? You know, nobody remembers their second crush.
I said Alyssa Milano, because that was the first name that popped in my head. Because I'm pretty sure I had a crush before her, but I couldn't remember. So, and then I said the super suit was, I'm pretty sure the super suit was in the closet, so I didn't have a fun answer. But, like, yeah. So anyways, his name is Tyler McPhail, and his podcast is The Grand Geek Gathering. And he has, like, a bunch of different shows under the Grand Geek Gathering umbrella, and one of them is called Indie Comics. And he talks to different people, and most of the people that write indie comics anymore are just basically going straight to Kickstarter.
Mm.
And that was the point of the story. but yeah, go check them out. Brand Geek Gathering. And he also does stuff on Twitch a couple times a week. Plays not Fall Guys, but the other one that everyone's playing with the shitty graphics. Where everyone's suspect.
Among Us.
I know the Among Us, yeah. He plays Among Us. So you can, like, if you join, like, if you want, and have Among Us, you can actually jump in and play with him.
Well, I would just always vote for you, Danny.
I'm pretty sus.
You are very sus. Oh.
Speaking of things being sus, Sean, we got a new Destiny trailer.
Yeah, we sure did. Destino. Yeah.
So, you know, like, as someone who doesn't quite have the investment in Destiny that you do, there's other things to shoot than Fallen, right? Like, why does everything have to be about the Fallen?
Well, I feel like... Well, I don't know. I feel like everybody, they go around and they... You say that, but, like, literally, the big... It was the Hive was, you know... the Hive and Taken were really big in the previous one in Shadowkeep. We already know that the darkness comes, and there's probably going to be some of that in there. We had the first Destiny 2 launched off having the guinea pig guys over there killing everybody, the Cabal, and then we also had different Vex flashbacks. So I feel like I think we've just kept going. I think this is like their like sole expansion pack for the Fallen. So even though you say is it the Fallen, I feel like the Fallen haven't really got that much attention lately.
Well, it just seems like whenever like I get like certain bounties where it's like kill so many of this thing, and it's like I have to go to like certain parts of like certain planets to kill certain things. Meanwhile, the fucking Fallen is like on every planet, except for maybe like one or two.
Well, look, it's like the same with almost like the Cabal. The Cabal are almost on every planet.
But they seem to stay in their own little... They seem to stay in their lane, man. Versus the Cabal that just... Like, the Fallen just shows up everywhere. Or is it maybe I just spent too much time on the moon?
I don't know, man. I just think... I guess the Fallen are like the other race that's around almost everything, but I think that's mostly also because, like, you know, they were at one time they were told that they were the chosen ones. Like the Traveler like blessed them at one time and then left them. So I feel like that would be the only call out that I would have is that, you know, they're still looking for the Traveler again. They want to be blessed again.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense. That's why I was like, why the fuck are the Fallen seemingly falling everywhere? But if there's a reason why, and I figured you would be one of the people to know, but one that I talked to.
Yay.
You sure about that one? I don't know. That seems like a reward or a punishment.
I don't know. I enjoy it. I mean, I should. I kind of get the habit of streaming every time I'm playing Crucible and Gambit. Just because it'd be really fun to show people just how pretty good I am at these things.
Are you streaming under the Hoppyhead Productions?
I am streaming. I'm under Hoppyhead Pro, so you could. I just gotta get in a habit of turning it on, even if I'm solo playing.
I've been telling you to do that for a while. You need to let me know, and I'll post it on the social medias that you're on.
I could post it
because we can get like not partner or whatever it is with Twitch where you get like 50 subscribers and like you stream like three different nights a week and get like three concurrent viewers and you have to like get like 50 subscribers, not subscribers but followers. Mm-hmm. Which like the hard part seems to be the 50 followers.
Oh yeah,
But if I post it on the social medias, I know people that Twitch that maybe will give a courtesy follow back, like the reach around. Like they don't have a business necessarily, but they could follow.
Fair enough. That's funny.
Because I have said it before, and I will say it again, Sean. And you were, like, seemingly shocked when I said it before. Mm-hmm. You generally are a better gamer than I.
Can you say that one more time? I didn't hear what you said.
I've said it before. I've said it. I have no problem. Look, here's the thing. You're more skilled. I'm more persistent.
No, that's fair.
At, like, doing, like, the, like, because... like a friend of the show, Man Thing, still comments every once in a while on the fact that I like thousand pointed one of the Forza games where you had to like do like 8 billion mm-hmm. races, and I'm like, fuck it, dude, I just want to do it. Like if I see a target, I'll go for it, even if it's like super mm-hmm. tedious. But like if we were playing, like, I mean, you fucking, you know. Almost, but not quite. Like, I jump on your back and just fucking go along for the ride when we do, like, team, like group events and Destiny. Like, I'm cool as long as we don't have to jump someplace, but that's where I jump, especially when I jump on your back. It's like, fuck, you gotta jump across here. Can you just go ahead and the game will catch me up to you?
At some point.
Like, I'm good at the shooting, but I'm not good at the jumping.
Yeah, that.
As Gecko pointed out one time.
The jumping can be a pain in the ass, though.
Well, especially if I've, like, you've done it 10 times and I've done it 0 times and you already know where to go and you're like, I can't even see you. Like, I just see a little green, like, a little blue dot on the map where you are. And you're like, I'm over here. And I'm like, dude, I have fucking
what
no idea where over here
mean?
Is. Like, yeah. Well, just jump, just do that jump puzzle and I'm over there. And I'm like, okay, give me a minute. And you're like, I don't have a fucking minute. Like, that's I think that's the big problem is... You learn the jump puzzle, and I'm like going into a blind, and you're like, no, hurry the fuck
or
up.
Or I put you, or I make you jump somewhere just so you can get hit by a giant wiener.
Yes. And I was like, almost to the point where you're like, you know what, the joke's not funny anymore. Like the joke's on me now for making you do this 100 times.
The sad thing is every new person like I help take through there, I do the same stupid thing. I don't know if it's just like. It's tradition, but every time, like, I laugh at doing it, like.
Like, that one, I wasn't even mad. You're like, all right, fine, you got me. Like, that was funny. I would have done this. I would do the same thing.
Ooh.
Oh.
Good times, man. Good times.
So, one thing I noticed about playing Destiny, Sean, is there doesn't seem to be much, like, actual, like, story missions. Like versus like Final Fantasy 14, where like whenever there's even a new expansion will add like certain number of missions and mm-hmm. dungeons. Yeah. It seems like Destiny 2 seems more focused on end game as opposed to actual game to me.
Yeah, I would say there's a lot more. Everybody does like the same end game of stuff. So whether it's PvP or, you know, in Gambit's case, PvE, VP, or they're doing raids. I don't know if anybody really does story stuff in Destiny, like, towards the end. It's all about, you know, doing those other things. Like, there's some story stuff you do, but what I've seen is it's more about endgame, and it's more about triumph hunting and different things like that.
Right, well, because I was able to do, like, the Forsaken and Shadowkeep expansions story, like, in a day each.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there wasn't much. Which, I don't know, like, I seem to, like, want more, I don't know, I just want more story, I guess. And I guess there's the lore where if you, like, go find shit or do things, you can get the lore and go read it there, but I don't know, like, the world is kind of fascinating to me, more than just, like, running around and shooting, like, other people in PvP.
Yeah. I feel like that's part of the problem is you have to do a lot of reading to get the lore in Destiny versus other things. So I feel like that's like the biggest thing is like you go, you know, you do different things and then like in the lore section of the triumphs, like it gives you more it gives you like more information about like different things. Like you don't just like randomly learn about previous guardians and their task and whatnot. You have to do a lot of reading to kind of get that piece.
Right. And I know people that like played like certain, like they hated certain games because like the like one of the complaints about Final Fantasy 13 was that where like you would like you'd get some of the story, but then they would fill in a lot of the story blanks by getting like you'd have to go pick things up and then you would have to like go to a menu and then read it. You know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. But I guess that's my biggest complaint about Destiny. I just don't feel like there's enough like story. Like because it wants to be like this hybrid first-person shooter slash MMO. And there's some aspects where it's really good as an MMO, but then there's other aspects where – but it's not really like – they're not hybriding the two.
Yeah.
It's – you know what I'm saying? Like because you get the shooter in the multiplayer and then you get the MMO in the raids, but there's not enough story to combine the two, I don't think.
No, I feel like, you know, Crucible, the PvP is really just supposed to be like, you know, in the series, it's viewed as training. Like, you know, Shaxx, like, it's all view, all PvP is in the lore context, is just training. So it doesn't matter, like, right. what that is, and it's just more on teaming Guardians against each other for practice and whatnot versus other parts. Like, Gambit, it's really... You know, it's about, you know, the Drifter wants motes for whatever scheme he's coming up with. So you're dropping them and whatnot. And, you know, supposedly there's been parts where you train in Gambit as well to get ready for the real thing. And like in the current season, you pick up these dark motes and bank them to get to kind of trigger events. To get attacked by the main villain coming up. So that's kind of going on as well. And then to your point, like, the rest of it's just kind of repeat. Like, even the Nightfalls, even though it's endgame content, you know, they're just, it's just a beefed up version of a strike where you're tactically going out and eliminating targets, crucial targets. So. So it's hard to say. I mean, I totally get your point because it does feel like at some point, like the lore is kind of goes and then it's taken and you don't really get that much while playing the game and it doesn't all necessarily all relate, but that is like the biggest thing that I've heard is like the lore, there is a lot of lore if you have the patience to go through and do a lot of reading.
Right. And quick question. If someone is like, because I know you can like jump in and get like the base version of Destiny 2 for free. And they're almost making it to where the other expansions are. Like you don't need to really necessarily do
correct.
Them. So is the digital, like, cause if you bought, you pre-ordered Beyond Light, correct? Did you order the standard or the deluxe?
So I ordered the deluxe. And the reason I did that is because you get all the season passes for the whole year. So if you buy just Beyond Light, then I think you get like the story and the raid and different things for the expansion pack. And I think you get the new season, but once like that season ends and they do a restart, I think, and it's hard to say now that they backed it up. Now that it's hard to say how the seasons are going to go because everything is so screwed up now that they pushed it back 2 months. But
right,
there's certain content in different seasons where you have to have the season pass to play it. Now, like they're like the Christmas event, you don't need the season pass for it. Anybody could play that, but there might be like a raid layer or certain weapons that you have to have the season pass to obtain them or play them.
Okay, that's basically what my question was. Is there value in actually buying the deluxe edition, or is that just a way for them to get an extra $20 out of you?
Both.
Or both. One.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's both. I mean, some of the events, you know, and the activities that they add to the different seasons aren't, like, overly, like, Some of the seasons, like this past season, have been pretty dead, but like this season was a lot better. Like we had the new, I think this season, the event, the public event thing was a lot more fun to play. And then we also got the dungeon, which was fun to play as well.
Yeah, I haven't done the dungeon yet. I've done the event, but I haven't done the dungeon.
We'll have to do that before it goes, because it's scheduled to go away in November when the game resets.
So right.
We'll have to do that. I think you're high enough level now.
Yeah, I'm at 1040. I'm at 1042
okay.
right now.
Yeah, you're getting up there. It's but yeah, it has a very fun Taken and Tron, and that's what the dungeon feels like. So it's okay. It's definitely pretty
interesting. You know, I used to, I mean, like, from playing before, like I hated the Taken. Mm-hmm. Just because, like, again, like, they were, like, the horror movie zombies where, like, they would just, like, you would be like, okay, I'm cool, there's only a handful, and then, like, the little black bubble thing would appear, and there'd be, like, 50 more, and you're like, okay, I'm gonna die right now. But that hatred has been replaced, Sean, and I think you could agree. I think you agree with me on this one. I don't think I'm going out too far on a limb. The fucking Scorn.
Oh my god, dude. The Scorn are a fucking pain in the ass.
Especially when you get the captain that fucking throws that random fire thing out. Yeah. But yeah, I have been having a lot of fun playing the game. I just need, like, the only thing that sucks, again, it's like, I didn't stop playing Destiny because I didn't think it was fun. It was just because, like, I wanted to do other things in my life. And I guess that's part of the problem, is because I stopped playing for so long, I had to catch up. And so I haven't had time to do other things to catch up. So it's like a self-fulfilled prophecy.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that they talked about, they want to do things where some of it is like, you know, you have to play that season to get it. But they also don't want to make it. There are some things that they're trying to make where it might release that season, but you could still play it other seasons down the road. So, like, there's certain events that you miss that you'll never be able to play. And again, question on whether it was good or not, it's a whole different, you know, conversation. Like, part of it is what they're trying to play with is what is the right blend between what is a season event and what is, like, a yearly ongoing event that you could continue to do.
Well, like, Final Fantasy 14, like, one of the things they do, like, they started where it's like, well, if you did the seasonal event and you got the rewards from it, like, cool, no one else will ever get them. And then a couple of years later, they introduced the cash shop where you can, like, buy things, and it's like, oh, hey, remember how we said, like, if you did a seasonal event and you got things, no one else would ever get it? Just kidding. You can pay cash for them now. So, like, that's one of the, like, the important, like, kind of the underrated important things in MMOs is the dick swinging of exclusivity. Mm. Like, I have something I'll never get.
Yeah.
Like, I ended up seeing that you could link your Amazon account to Destiny and get fucking exotic shit from Amazon. Did you see that?
No, I did not know that.
So, like, I've done it for, I got an email from, because I, like had to, like, re-log into Bungie. So I got an email. So I was able to get last month's, and then I was, like, because I did it, like, 2 days before the deadline, and then I got this month's. But then I saw that there was one in the past, and I'm like, oh, I said I would never spend money on this game, but if that was, like, if there was a way I can get that for, like, $5 or less, I would pay for it. And it's the emoji of, like, where Cade was petting the chicken.
Oh, yeah.
But that was an Amazon Destiny exclusive. But then, the emote that came in this month was, like, shooting a flare.
Was it? Oh, okay.
So you get, like, because basically you get an emote. Sometimes you get a weapon. It's like, I think it's like sometimes you get an emote or a weapon, but then you get like a ship and a sparrow for sure every month.
Okay.
Exotic, a gold one, whatever that is, exotic.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. So if you have Amazon Prime and Destiny, you get to sell your data for free, and you get cool. Well, not for free. You get cool shit to sell your data, basically.
Okay.
I don't know how cool. I mean, if you think it's cool, but yeah, so the exotics. Yeah, so like I was saying, like I should pre-order because like you get the exotic ghost, mm-hmm. you get an emblem and a freeze tag.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the pre-order stuff is that great. I just think it's, you know, you save money buying it, buying the deluxe edition versus down the road paying. If you end up buying every season separately, it costs more. So,
right. So there is value in it's both. You get like it's going to cost you money, but it's going to cost you less money. So there's yeah, value in it.
Pretty much.
Okay. Cool yep. beans. Back to the back to the Weebs of Destiny podcast.
Exactly. You know what? You know what is also cool? When gamers raise money for children.
Oh yeah, I was going to hit yep. you up about that too.
So this will be the third year that I'm participating in the Extra Life fundraiser. So on November 7th, I will be completing. I'm not going to say attempt. I will complete every raid in Destiny 2 starting at 8 a.m. on Saturday, November 7th. I'm still recruiting a couple buddies to continue to help me through, but, you know, trying to go for $200 this year. So what I did this year, though, doing a little bit different, is if you donate to the campaign, I got a couple different fun things to make my life hard while I'm raiding that day. So if you just want to give a $20 donation to Extra Life, I will shout out on the stream, and you know, after the day afterwards, I'm gonna give a big thank you for everybody who helped me. For $40, I will unfortunately switch off my Titan and play as a stupid hunter, and you could choose whatever subclass and abilities I have to use. So I hate playing as a hunter, but for sick children, I guess I'll play as a hunter.
Hunter best class.
No, false. Dick. For $60, I will during the raid. Once I see that you donated, I'm gonna wipe the team. So we have whatever part we're at, we have to redo it because I'll kill us. For $80, you get all that plus you get to select the different weapons that I'm gonna use during the raid. So which will make my life consistently hell if you pick stuff that doesn't make sense for the raid.
Like, so I'm just gonna pick like sidearm. linear pulse rifle.
Linear fusion rifle?
Fusion rifle, yes.
Yeah, something like that. For $100...
Okay. That would be worth $80 yeah. right there, Sean.
For $100, I will restart the current raid that we're on. So it could be 2 hours of raiding, and I will restart us. And I will have everybody hating me. For $150, I will kick out one of the team members, and you could finish the raid with us. So again, you know, I'm gonna throw out my friendship bonds for the sick children, and then at $200, I'll join your fire team for an hour, and we can do whatever you want. So plenty of fun things to do. So the raid schedule, I do have it broken up into like 2 hour bits. I assume that some of the raids might go quicker than others, depending on who joins, and if we have to grab some random blueberries, they might take longer, depending on how the raid is going. So I will be posting the times that we're doing stuff, and I will be streaming the whole event, so that way you can stop by and see what's going on, and hopefully donate and make my life a living hell for that day.
If there's one raid that I like that I need to do, and if you need people, then I'll jump in there and have you just carry me, like Luke Skywalker carried Yoda.
Exactly, yeah. Like Scourge of the Past would be a good one. Eaters of the World is another good one that we could just carry you.
Well, it's like the yeah. first raid.
That was another one that's pretty easy to carry people now because you're just so much more overpowered than what the raid limit is. So,
yeah, because I need to do that raid for the story. You.
Okay.
But I still have, like, I haven't done that raid from the quest.
Fair enough. So, no, but yeah, definitely so, looking at it. My buddy Bulldog already donated $60, so I appreciate that from him. So he's I'm already started off as a hunter in the first raid, so I'm already overly excited.
Sounds like it. Send me the links, and I'll put that in our like Instagram story and shit.
Easy enough.
All right. I guess I should sign up under my own personal thing, and I probably should change my personal Twitch to Sir Hoppyhead, since we already have Hoppyhead Productions. I could have Sir Hoppyhead be the secondary Twitch account for our podcast.
Makes sense.
I should look into doing that. Maybe I'll do that this week. Makes sense, yeah. Instead of it being like my just gamer tag.
Exactly.
So maybe I'll sign up for that as well. All right. Cool.
All right, everybody, make sure you follow us on Podbean, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, all those fantastic places. You get to catch us on Facebook, Instagram, and see what we're up to. Danny posts stuff on Untapped and Instagram. You can see what he's sipping and what he's doing with his sipping and cruising activities.
Nice. Yes. Definitely drinking. Not like my goal at the beginning of the year was to like average a beer a day, but because COVID, like, I can't go to breweries and get flights, because that was definitely going to, you know, help carry my averages. Yep.
Not no more. COVID affecting the real problems.
Yes, first world problems.
Exactly. All right, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Later.